This is Neil Whiteside. Cambridge 105 Radio.
And it's my pleasure to welcome into the studio Alana Sinclair. Alana from Cambridge Carbon Footprint. Hello.
Hello.
All right, come on then. Tell us all about Cambridge Carbon Footprint and what it does.
So we are a tiny climate change charity, obviously because of the name, we're very local focused. We have two staff members, but we run about 60 different events across the course of the year, all about helping people to live more sustainably in their everyday lives. Last year we actually had over 4,000 people attend our event, so I say we're tiny, but I reckon we probably punch above our
weight. I was going to say, you are punching above your weight. Is it the fact it says Cambridge in your name, that Cambridge does seem to do eco, or does it? How do we rate as a city?
I think that there's definitely an appetite here for it in Cambridge. I think people are very aware and are very worried about climate change and worried about our environment. So I think that there are a lot of people in Cambridge who are interested. And I think that's why we're able to run so many events and activities, is because we actually have a really committed core group of people. Well, not even a core group of people. Actually, last year we had over 200 people volunteering for us. So we get a lot of people actually volunteering and running events for us, so we're able to...
And typically what sort of events are? Or is that a daft question? Because I've just been looking at your website.
Yeah, we run all sorts of different events and activities. In the last couple of years, we've been focusing on two key areas. So home energy, what we can do at home to make our homes more energy efficient, but also more comfortable, more cozy. And also we've been focusing on stuff, so consumption and waste, and overconsumption, consumerism, how we can reduce that. So we do, in terms of styles of events, it's a full range. So from really practical activities, we've been really involved with running repair cafes.
Oh, right.
And also helping to support other groups to run repair cafes as well. But we also do a lot of talks. We've done a lot of clothes swaps. We've been running clothes swaps actually with... the Ladybirds WI for a couple of years, which is always nice because you get a good bit of cake as well. we have our finger in many different pies.
So I was just going to say, it does sound like it really is quite diverse. Yeah. Things like plastic then, because that seems to be the headline thing at the moment, pictures of these entire islands floating around the South Pacific made up out of all our old bottles and everything.
Yeah.
Have you been on this for a while? Have you been seeing this coming?
Yeah, I mean, plastic is a major issue. I mean, one, obviously, which everyone's, you know, quite concerned about at the moment, in terms of its impact on the environment physically, in terms of its presence in landfill and in oceans. But there's also the issue in terms of the amount of energy that's embodied in that. So, you know, plastic comes from oil, basically, and it doesn't go away. It just sits there, you know, basically every bit of plastic that we've ever made is sitting out there in the environment or in landfill somewhere, because it just takes so long to break down. So definitely something
that's definitely on the map, and you've been seeing this coming.
Yeah.
As individuals, how much change can we actually realistically affect? Is it something that if we all just changed a little bit, the problems would go away?
Definitely. I mean, we're not an organisation that is sort of, you know, sitting up on a high horse wagging our finger at everyone saying, right, you must do this or you must do that. Sustainability, we think, is really actually a kind of collective effort. It's definitely something that requires, I think, everyone to do a little bit in their everyday lives. And I think also just by doing something ourselves and by talking to other people who are doing something in their lives as well, It helps move us towards the kind of cultural shift that we need to actually tackle things on a bigger level as well. So the more people feel empowered about issues around the environment, about issues around climate change, the more likely we are to be able to ask for that change that we need from business and that we need from government as well.
Well, we see that, don't we, with things like cigarette smoking and with alcohol, social behaviour. It can, I mean, I've seen it change in my lifetime from one for the road and, you know, and somebody poncing a fag off you type thing to it's actually completely, no, don't do it now. So that's what you're aiming to try and do, get people thinking about this. When people look at doing things that are sustainable, it always strikes me, perhaps it's got a price tag attached to it. How easy is it for people to lead a more carbon-friendly life?
There are measures across the spectrum, basically, from, you know, just putting in a pair of heavy drapes in your house to you know, keep yourself warmer, to keep your heat in your house, which, you know, isn't a huge cost. Popping some foil behind your radiator to help reflect that heat back into the house. You know, those are really, really low cost things that can be done. also not doing stuff.
Right.
Actually, you know, not buying something that's expensive or not taking a plane has a huge impact, actually. So, you know, you can actually save money and be more environmentally friendly. I think we do sometimes get, you know, that kind of green bling. You know, those kind of glossy green lifestyle. It can be really attractive, but it doesn't have to be that. I think, you know, sustainability, to be truly sustainable, it has got to be something which is achievable, but which is also enjoyable. Like, we have to find a sustainable way of living that actually we all like. Otherwise, it's just not going to happen.
And we are looking at the next generation and the generation after. Time is starting to get a bit short, isn't it?
Well, we hope not, but it's definitely an increasing worry. Yeah,
I hear these talks of temperature rises and people saying, you know, we're a degree up on where we were 10 years ago, type thing. And if we carry on at this rate, we go beyond the point of no return quite quickly. So it's very concerning.
Yeah. And we felt it this summer, I think.
We did. Yeah. Oh, it's still crazy warm out there now.
Yeah, and blowing a gale.
Yes, which is, again, they've been saying on the news, you know, it's coming in a few months early.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got the Eco Homes for All, open Eco Homes. Tell us about that and how does this all work?
So Eco Homes for All is the entire program of events that encompasses the two open days, which is the open Eco Homes, as well as five workshop events. So basically, the open days coming up on Saturday the 30th of September and no Sunday the 30th of September and Saturday the 6th of October. And we've got 10 homes which are going to be opening their doors. We've got renovations and we've got new builds, which are all more low energy and environmentally friendly. So you can book on for a tour on the Open Eco Homes website and basically get inspired to do something to your home. And if you are inspired, you can come along to one of the other workshops that we're running. So we've got... Well, we actually kicked off last night with our first workshop, so there's four more to go. Topics like draft-proofing and ventilation. You can actually get some free draft-proofing materials if your house is a bit drafty. Also, insulation, solid wall insulation is another great topic if you're looking at renovating your home as well.
Now, again, across Cambridge, I mean, this is a city that's been here for 800 years in various ways, or longer than that, in various ways, shapes and forms. So we've got a real mix of housing, haven't we? From the very old to the cheap housing that's pretty much around here, around Gwydir Street, which is very, very knocked together cheap housing, up to the likes of Eddington and some of the modern builds. How is this going to affect people? What are there going to be examples of all these different types of houses?
Yeah, we deliberately try and get a good sample of housing stock. So we actually have Eddington, one of the houses at Eddington Open,
right,
which is an example of basically the highest code of sustainability that you can actually do.
So it really ticks all the boxes up there, does it? Despite, yeah, we often see this and think, oh, this is just blurb. It actually does do what it says on the tin, does it?
And more. I mean, they've really, you know, met and exceeded what was the highest standard of sustainable housing. So it's really a case study in, you know, how we can do everything. But if you're just looking at what you can do to your own home, we've got a fantastic Victorian house open down on Fen Road, which is actually two Victorian houses knocked together.
Wow.
And they've done a lot of DIY stuff there, so that should be really interesting. We've got a 1960s house, and they've done everything. They've incorporated actually electric vehicles. They've got a mechanical heat ventilation and recovery system as well, which don't ask me to explain, but okay. I understand it's incredibly efficient and it does great things in reducing fuel bills. We've got 1920s properties, and actually we've got this year quite a few new self-builds as well. And one of the talks that we're running on how to do a self-build, we'll have the author of the self-build Bible, Mark Brinkley, there speaking as well. So,
and he's a Cambridge man, is that right?
He's a Cambridge man, yeah.
So it does start and end here, really.
Yeah, we've got examples of everything.
Now, with one or two of these houses, then, you talk about the 60s house and things like that. Well, these have been done as a project, or is this stuff that people do over time and they find that actually they got a result from maybe changing their heating system or as you said, simple things like changing the curtains, and they think, well, hang on a minute, if I'm going to do that, I could do this.
Yeah, no, definitely. Most of them are projects which have been done over, you know, at least a 5-year period. They're something which people have worked on and done a little bit here and there. And that's one of the things that we try and do with the open days and with the workshops, is actually help people to start to think about what a plan might be. Because it can feel overwhelming if you look at your house and think, oh, you know, there's so much that I could do. Where should I start? So we actually, there's a booklet which is available to pick up at all of the houses and the events that we're running, which is a guide on how to create your cozy home. So you can actually, you can work through the workbook to, you know, figure out what your priorities are in your house and you know, go from there.
What about things like, are grants still available for any of this stuff, or is that sort of gone by the way?
Grants at the moment are limited.
Right.
There are some available, but if you have a look on the City Council website or the South CAMS website, they have a list of what grants are available locally. There isn't much at the moment.
Okay.
We're waiting to hear, you know, from Westminster. They keep promising new legislation, new grants.
Budgets are tight everywhere, aren't they? That's the trouble.
Yeah, and focus is elsewhere at the moment, I think.
I think that's probably true. You've used the word cozy home, things like that, several times. But a few across the summer, where we've had this blistering heat, few people have been struggling with actually saying, there's certainly some modern build properties saying, can't get air in here, can't get it to cool down. How do you marry the two?
Well, actually, one of the other workshops that I didn't mention earlier is getting your home ready for climate change, which is, you know, that's heat waves.
This is going to happen more often.
It's going to happen more often. So dealing with, you know, increased heat, increased flooding is definitely an issue. I don't think it's something which the regulations have really caught up with, particularly not in terms of new builds. Mm. And so, you know, there's what we can do now in our homes, but probably some legislation in that area would be very helpful as well.
Okay, so if people want to book up on this and find out more, how can they do that?
OpenEcoHomes.org is the website which has all of the information on Open Eco Homes and on the Eco Homes for All workshops. And if people want to find out more about Cambridge Carbon Footprint, we're at CambridgeCarbonFootprint.org as well.
All right, lovely. So that's Sunday the 30th of September and Saturday the 6th of October are the two main dates for this.
Yep.
And you book up, you go around people's houses and you see just exactly how it has been done.
Yeah, and you get to talk to homeowners who have done it all before. So it's not someone who's a contractor trying to sell
That's
you anything.
That's a what, yeah.
It's from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
Excellent. Alana, it's been lovely to meet you. Thank you very much indeed for coming and explaining about that. If you're just writing this down, openecohomes.org is the website. As I say, it's Sunday the 30th of September and Saturday the 6th of October. Alana, thanks very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you.